Are we ready? Eric, can you hear me?
Oh, hold on, I'm sorry.
All right. Eric, can you hear me?
I can, yes, I can.
Awesome. I'm going to turn it over to our board chair. He's going to open us up, and then we'll get started. Go ahead.
Let Liberty County School Board Workshop, Tuesday, March the 2nd, 2021, come to order. Mr. Penny?
All right. We have online here Mr. Eric Davis. I'll give y'all just a quick overview, and then I'll sit down and shut up. But okay, here's the camera. All right. Sorry. I was talking to them. Eric, we're glad that you're here. Mr. Tim Rebel's here tonight. Tim gave me your name and told me, had I ever heard of the new market tax credit? I told him I had not. He gave me your number, Matt Fuquay's number, a local attorney. And so after I called you, I was very encouraged at the funding possibility that we have here in Liberty County. I've shared this with some of the board members. We just wanted to have a workshop tonight to let you kind of explain to them. I know you said you could have done 150 slides or two or three slides, and you went with the two or three,
yes.
And we appreciate that. We want to give you an opportunity tonight to kind of explain that. You're able to see all the board members. We can kind of talk and ask questions, but we're excited at an opportunity to have you be a part of our meeting tonight. Tell us that this might be a really good thing for Liberty County. So I want to thank Mr. Tim Rebel for kind of making this happen and getting the connection going. And so we're excited about that. So you're in Seattle. Welcome to Liberty County. So I'm gonna turn it over.
Thank you very much.
I'm gonna turn it over
thank
to you.
Very much. I know I have been down before all this COVID stuff happened. I was in the Panhandle region and in Liberty County at least every month. And so I'm looking forward to coming back very soon. And to people in person, including with all of you. So the new market tax credit is a federal program that was established in 2000. One of the final acts of Bill Clinton signed before he left office. And we have had funding through the program since 2003. So we've been around for, programs have been existed for more than 20 years, and it has been funded since for 18 years, almost 2019. It is fundamentally about creating capital to fund projects in low-income communities through a tax credit investor who receives the tax credit in exchange for providing that capital. So it's designed to work specifically in rural low-income communities. And Florida is an underserved state, and Liberty County is almost all the county qualifies for the new market tax credit, including the area where the high school is located. So it's very site-specific. You have to be located in a qualified census tract as determined by poverty rate, unemployment rate, and average family median income. So you meet those tests. The program is complex, but I tend to keep my slides at three because I think that this will answer most of at least the basic structure, and then there'll be lots of questions, and I welcome questions as we go. So if you have questions, as I'm talking, happy to do that interactively. So I always start with this chart. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here. If someone would let me share my screen so I can put this chart up.
You're on.
Right now I can't share a screen. So
that's she's getting it going. Okay, try it now.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay. So, hopefully you can see this Excel spreadsheet here. This is the basic sources and uses document calculation I use. Based as a cash flow calculation. And what we have, we have our new market tax credit equity. This is
Eric, can you zoom that in a little bit? We're on a 60, 70 inch TV, and we're still have we're it's a little ways from us. Is there any way to zoom zoom that?
I can zoom into it, sure. I go to 200% magnification.
Much better. Yeah, much better. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. And just up front, I'm a CPA, so I tend to be math oriented. So if there's qualitative questions, please just let me know. So the New Market Tax Credit Equity is coming from a tax credit investor. There are 7 accredited tax credit investors in the U.S. And Truist Bank, formerly known as SunTrust Bank, is the leading investor in Florida and in the South. So I assume they would be the investor here. There is some specific data questions I may have later, but I just would go ahead and assume that they would be our investor in your project. So I assume $20 million in New Market Tax Credit allocation. Now, the Treasury Department on July 15th of 2020 awarded $3.5 billion for funding for all projects across the United States. Starting in this year in August, I think, we don't know the exact date, but we do know that Congress has already appropriated $5 billion in New Market Tax Credit funding for this year. So that's a 40% increase over what we currently have. And that will really help. But just to be conservative, I assume that we would get $20 million of allocation for your project. So the tax credit calculation, if you see on my screen, is $20 million. The tax credit investor gets a tax credit of 39% of $20 million, or that would be just under $8 million, so $7.8 million. So the tax credit investor is going to get $7.8 million, and Truist, current pricing on the tax credits is 76% of the par value. They receive the tax credit over 7 years. They claim that over 7 years, we get the cash up front. So that's why there's a discount on the par value, and that current pricing is 76 cents. Before COVID, the pricing was 82 cents, and it was 82 cents that would make a big difference. But I'm just going to go ahead and assume that the current pricing is going to remain in effect. So that gives us a gross New Market Tax Credit subsidy before expenses and anything else of $5,928,000. Then we have this thing called bridge equity. So under the program rules, you can either use current leverage for debt or equity, or you can get credit for prior costs incurred. So my understanding is you just built a brand new high school, and I assumed, just because I don't have the actual numbers, but I assume conservative that the cost of building the school is 80. I'm assuming that's a reasonable number. Is that close?
It's about 24.
24 million. Well, then you have some room to work with. So I can find more allocation. But right now, I just assume $15 million because I'm assuming a $20 million New Market Tax Credit transaction. And if we get more, then we have room to get more. So that's great. So assuming that you paid for all those costs within 36 months of closing, and I would assume the closing date would most likely be, that we'd be looking at would most likely be January or February of 2022. And assuming that within 3 years prior to that, you spent at least $15 million then on that school, then we're going to be fine. So that's a $15 million bridge equity that works as a one-day loan, which I'll model how that looks in a minute. But basically, Truist will give the district a one-day loan of $15 million as a source of leverage in the transaction. So now we have $20,928,000 in project costs. And we always have to ask them over because of various technical reasons that I won't go into tonight. these entities are the special purpose entities that are awarded allocation by the Treasury Department every year. So in August, there's going to be $5 billion in new market tax credit allocation awarded to community development entities for use across the United States. CDEs have a variety of different fees, but I just wanted to know what the all-in cost is. And from my perspective, I want all of those costs paid for on the closing. I don't want you to have to pay the ongoing fees, which is some of what some of these CDEs like to do. So I just always tell them, just give me the all-in fee because I want it paid for on closing. I don't want my client to have to pay mine for the different costs. And so I have projected the total all-in fee at 8.5%. That's probably reasonable. It's probably a little high right now. Most CDs charge between 7.5% and 8.5%, but I went ahead and budgeted 8.5% just to get the all-in fee. And that fee is $1.7 million. And you may ask, where are CDs in the business for? They're in the business for two fundamental things. They want to find good projects located in good communities, and rural underserved projects are the highest priority for the program. So that certainly means to push you up to the top of the list. And the other thing they're in it for is the money. Most of them are for-profit entities, and they do quite well. And what they want is they want good deals so they can get future deals, future allocation to fund more deals so they can make more money. So that's what they're in on. So the total transaction fees that I'm modeling here are $2,650,000. So we end up with our net subsidy. So the projected subsidy is the gross subsidy of $5,928,000 from above, minus the projected transaction fees of $2,650,000. And this is the actual cash that the district would receive at closing to work with to build a vocational training school. So you'll see a vocational training build, excuse me, so you'll see this number is exactly the same as this number. You are using all the subsidy to build it because you don't need to borrow it. You don't need any additional leverage. And that works out to a subsidy based on a $15 million goal. An actual project cost of 21.85%. And that's roughly what I would expect the subsidy percentage to be. Generally, the bigger the deal size, the bigger the subsidy is. But as a practical matter, there are limits on what we can get for new market tax credit transactions, and I've just budgeted $20 million just. So, are there any questions on this page so far today?
I think I have some questions, and I'm not sure it's appropriate right now. This is Jody Bailey. Hey, Eric. It's my understanding that this is probably going to be about a five-year project. Is that correct? This is not, it takes about a year to do, you know, your work, the legal work, but it's an ongoing five-year project.
So, thank you for that question. So, we're basically in between rounds at the moment. So, we really can't get any additional application right now for the project. So, when the next round comes out in August at $5 million, that's when the clock will start ticking. And that will outline allocation for your project, and it will take about 3 months for CDEs to get serious, and it takes another 3 months to close. So that will give us, and that basically sets the time. summary report. And then we have the community benefits agreement. So depending on the terms that are negotiated with the parties, I'll just use the Jackson County School Board as an example. So the Jackson County School Board, when they did their deal, we had to agree to provide annual financial statements, unaudited. But we have audited financial statements because everybody has to have those, but that was fine. And we have to do an annual employment report, which just says how many people are working at that school every year. And we just do that once per year, typically in July, I think. And then we have a community benefits agreement, which is just simply updated based on what we prepared for the transaction. That was part of the documents that were the legal documents of the transaction. And we just simply provide an update on that every year, and that's also due, I believe, in July. That's it. That's all we have to do.
Is there a...
go ahead.
Is there also a committee that was put together, and I believe that Chris Johnson, which is a school board member there, he's on that committee, and they meet once a year. Is that one of the requirements also?
That is correct. That is correct. So that is called our quality meeting, and that's our Type 3 supporting organization.
Okay.
And our Type 3 supporting organization will have to have its own board, and I have a flow chart, which I'll kind of model what that, how that structure looks like. But the quality meeting is a special representative that is required to make the transaction work. So as a governmental entity, the school district is not eligible for the new market tax credit transactions without a supporting organization. So we have to set up a Type 3 supporting organization that exclusively exists for the school district, and its main, its only job is to, one, actually use the cash to pay for the construction of the school, of the new vocational training building, and two, receive rent payments for that use of that building, and then pay interest payments immediately back to you. You'll see that on my next slide. It only exists for that purpose. It has a three-member board. One member is what we call a permanent member. So if we're looking at the Jackson County School Board deal, for example, they use their school board president to be the permanent member of the quality board. And then they pick two at-large community members who are independent. So they can't be employees and they can't be any current board members. So they pick two at-large community members to be the independent directors. And this board will meet once per year. It will review its financial statements once per year, as that's what they're doing, because they only have one transaction per year that they have to do. They approve their financials, they meet for 10 minutes, they sign off, and they're done. That's it. And that entity is called the Quality B Board, and their name is the Graceville Pre-K through 5 Quality B Inc. That's their legal name. In your case, I just called it LCSD Quality B, and you have the name, whatever name you want to choose for it, that's up to you. It's totally optional. But that's correct. So there is a special board that is required in these transactions, because you're a governmental entity. As a governmental entity, you're not legally allowed to participate directly unless you use it through a third party intermediary, which exclusively exists to support the school district. It has no other purpose.
Okay, I also have two more questions. I'm putting them on procurement hat again. So I assume that you are the vendor of record for Jackson County. Is that correct? Are you in contract with Jackson?
That's correct, ma'am. I am their consultant, and I provide ongoing support after closing, and I don't charge any additional.
Was that a competitive process, how you choose consultants, how the school district would choose a consultant or choose attorney legal firms? Is that going to be a competitive process that we have to go through according to the federal guidelines? Can you give me some?
No, you do not have to do that. Consultant selection is a personal, you can talk to a lot of different consultants, but you'll find that 95%, there's about 60 of us in this industry. There's only about two of them that will do any real work at all. And none of them will get on a plane and come and travel and actually meet with you and help you during this process. So I'm going to give you an example. So exactly what he did. He did about 40 hours of work, earned a fee of $250,000, and was done, and never heard from him again. I think that I learned from that experience. I had to do all the, my own projections, all my own support work, all my own analysis. I had to do my own transaction entries, everything as CFO, as that client working on that deal. I learned from that experience that's pretty poor service, but I find that most consultants, that's really all they think they're in business to do. So I'm very hands-on. I provide high level service for my clients. I think my clients pay a pretty steep fee for this, these services, even, you know, if my discount fee is 2.5%. And I think clients deserve free service. So I'm old-fashioned. I'm a CPA by profession, right? And I learned a long time ago, if you take care of your clients will take care of you. That's rule number one. So, you know, in my particular case, I believe that people, clients deserve good service, and they deserve help, and they deserve ongoing support. So that is what I do. I can't speak for other consultants. I can only speak for myself. But in terms of the program requirements, you can hire any consultant or attorney you want. There's no restriction. It's not a public bid process. This is not a direct federal program. This is an indirect federal subsidy program through the tax credit, through the tax cut. And therefore, this is not a federal grant. It works sort of like a federal grant, but it is not a federal grant. That is it. I hope I answered your question.
Thank you, you did. Thank you so much.
Mr. Davis, on the board there, you've got 15 million, and ours is more like 24 million. For saying that changes every number on the board, correct? That you have up there.
Hey, I'm gonna turn on my.
I said on this screenshot here we have, you've got that for 15 million at the top.
That's correct. Yeah, I assume 15 million. So if I can find, this is a $20 million new market cash raise transaction. So $24 million in broadband costs, that would get us to a $30 million. That would get us to a $30 million new market cash raise transaction. So if I can find $30 million, let's just model this here and just show what it would look like. I'm not going to change the underlying numbers here, but I'm just going to change the fact cut on the variables. So that would increase the subsidy to $5.142 million.
That's a pretty substantial difference.
If we can find it. If I can find it. Yep. It's not guaranteed because there's lots of other projects, but you at least have the dollars that if I can find it, then I know that we can make it happen. So. But just to be conservative, I modeled it at 20 million, and if we get 30 million, then that's great. You'll give it a lot more subsidy now.
Eric, how competitive are we? Are we going to be competing with other rural areas? Like, I know there's a finite amount each period or each season or each funding cycle. Do you anticipate if we go in this next cycle, there'll be highly competitive?
It's always competitive.
Oh, okay.
So the general rule is that under the current $3.5 million limit, which has not increased since 2000, since 2008, they're the same numbers since 2008. In general, there's about 230 transactions that are closed every year across the United States. Okay? So going to a $5 million limit will increase the number of transactions to about 420. Transactions. It's about a $12 million average. That'll give us a lot more transactions. And then for every transaction that happens, there's everybody who wants allocation, the 20 projects who want allocation, only one's going to get funded. That's in general. So if you narrow that down further and you eliminate the metro projects, which is where being able to get the funding for you. Like, if the money doesn't come, then I don't get paid. So, and you don't have any other loss either. So in that sense, everything is a totally performance based. I have to perform and I have to get to the allocation for your project or nothing else happens. But I don't generally take projects unless I think there's a very high probability of success, and I personally work almost exclusively on rural underserved state projects. That's pretty much all I do, which makes me unique in the industry because that's all I do. And so I have a lot of deals. I have a lot of deals and a lot of good projects out there that will get funded, and I think yours is certainly at the top of the list.
One of the questions, I know when you and I talked before, you asked me about what kind of project could we put it, and I mentioned vocational to him just as a starting point, because I know we got some property behind the new high school, we could build a few extra buildings, but obviously I wouldn't think in the neighborhood of 3.2 or even $5 million. So did I hear you say correctly, we would not be locked into using all those allocations for that building? We could, whatever, you build your building, when you get through, you can use the other unrestricted?
That's correct. So let's say the cost of building is $2 million, okay? So, and that includes equipment and everything else, as you're gonna build a wood shop or a metal working shop or whatever, or a home ec program or whatever you're gonna be building inside there, and other things, a desk and furniture. But let's say it's $2 million. So I have $3.278 million in cash. That would mean the district would get the difference, $1,278,000, as a reimbursement for prior costs incurred, and then that would be available for the district for any purpose that it wanted to use it for.
The 4-year spending restriction, does that apply to that leftover money as well?
No, you can spend that right away. They're going to want it spent within a year. So for example, with the Graceville School project, they did a 100% reimbursement deal. They were fully reimbursed. They had no additional cost to pay. So in their particular case, they just took the entire subsidy as cash and used it to pay off debt.
Okay, because we have numerous projects. We have a football field house we want to finish. We'd love to, you know, and I'm not speaking for the board here. I'm speaking with them. We have some softball needs. We had to relocate the softball field, and still we think we'd still have money left over. But I want to make sure I heard you clear. The money, the leftover money, has to be spent within 1 year or 4 years. Do the funds have to be spent within 18 months, or can it be, what if they're obligated? Does it have to be?
They have to be spent within 18 months of closing. So if we close next year, let's say we close next year in March, let's say it was today, you would have to spend the funds would that be September 2nd, 2023?
So we could actually start before we get the money. And on their first draw, we need to have our money so we can pay them.
Yeah. How far is it between the time you are grant, you're going to get the money, that you're made, you're told you're awarded, you're going to get the money, and then you get the first draw?
You can have the draw right at closing if you've got projects that are already under construction.
I got you. So it's like a loan at a bank. If you have a closing.
Yeah, draws are usually, when you have the money in the current draw account, the general rule is that it can be dispersed no less frequently than monthly. So you can do
And this would apply, Eric, to exist. Let's say we have some items now that we're trying to pay for.
Mr. Eric,
I got my facilities guy here. He's got a question for you.
Mr. Eric, we have a building that we got concrete poured, and it's a steel construction building, like the vocational wing. Could we use this money as the vocational wing and put that money towards that and finish it, and then have the leftover?
Yes, you can. We just have one thing I have to have when I start working on the market, because I have to work. I have to have a detailed project budget.
Right.
So I have to see all the way up. What do you need to use the money for? Okay. So one of the things that I'll need your help with is saying, okay, if you had $3.278 million, how would you use it? And that's where I'm going to need your help. Just like that. What specifically is going on?
So as far as the ranking, if you had a committee or whoever the group is that ranks that, are we going to have to justify $3.2 million in costs for a vocational building?
No. If it's the actual cost of the building is only $2 million, then the rest will be reimbursed to the school district in cash.
Okay.
I
just wasn't sure, do we have to justify putting that whole amount in the vocational building up front for ranking purposes?
No. I need a construction budget, and that means you have to have a general contractor hired, and you have to have a construction budget number and a general contractor hired, and renderings and everything else that you need for permits, and the permits have to be issued, and you can start construction that day, or you've already started construction before that, then we'll reimburse you for what you've already paid.
That's what you're talking about.
That project's already.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Well, once you how do you go about finding out? I know it takes 6 months, it's turn loose and all this and all. Are you in contact with the consultants and all when you'll know, yes, you'll be able to do this, or no, you will not be able to, you've not been awarded this? I mean, how does that work? Does it just come out on the blue, or?
So we're expecting this coming year about 90 CDEs to win an award in August this summer. And before that happens, I put together what I call a project cut sheet. And the cut sheet is the marketing document that I use, and I get that out to CDEs and your sources and uses, and then what your preliminary project budget. And I start marketing it to CDEs basically as soon as possible. Like this March, I probably would like to start marketing your project by the end of the month, mostly. And start getting out to CDs and say, hey, here's our project, we're looking for an allocation for the next round, and I start scheduling calls and doing calls with multiple CDs, and trying to talk to as many CDs that are interested as possible. And then the awards were coming out in August, and before COVID, and I think this year after, because of vaccine, we always had four conferences a year. And so there'll be a conference probably in September. And all the consultants and all the CDEs in the country gather in one place. It'll probably be in D.C. And that's where it's I call it the meat market. That's where you're just meeting with as many meetings as possible. And because I have a lot of deals and a lot of rural deals, in particular, I do a lot of meetings, with CDEs. So I'll do like 16 meetings back to back. Maybe you only have an hour. I'd be presenting this project and any other project that I had that I thought was interesting to them. And that would be where we would have a physical in-person meeting. And then after that, after the conference is over, we follow up. And as I said, CDEs will take about 3 months to get serious. So they probably will be serious, actually committing to deals in October. And then we probably start working on closing in November, and we close in February, mostly. Something like that. Did I answer your question?
Yes, sir.
Eric, Jody again. Let's go right back to the very start.
Yes, sir.
On the contract, are there any upfront fees that the school will need to? Do we need to do a contract with you? Will you send us a scope of work or what your services are going to be and outline those? How does this work? How do we contract with you or another consultant? How does that get started?
Okay, sure. Great question. So I'm a CPA, and as a CPA, I'm required to have a written engagement letter. So I have a standard 8-page engagement letter that's written And there's probably little or no cost for any other third parties that would have to be paid for both of them. Other than the $25,000 retainer deposits that have to go to the CDEs and any other investor other than Truist. I don't know if Truist is the investor, they don't have one, but a U.S. Bank, Wells Fargo, they all have $25,000 retainer deposits. So that's really the only cost I think we have that you have to pay. And again, that would be reimbursed to you.
And like the attorneys, would they, you know, typically, is, has it been your experience that they charge retainers?
No, ma'am, they don't. The only reason we have an issue with attorney fees with attorneys is if we were working on closing and we had CD and term sheet in, we're starting working on the closing process and we're getting ready to close and then you decide to back out for some unknown reason. That's an extremely rare circumstance. Send yourself leverage and you don't need, we don't have a borrowing issue here. You're not taking out what we call a number here loan in this circumstance. So therefore, if you were just to pull out like a month before closing for some unknown reason, because certainly we know from the Jackson County School Board case that the transactions are legal in Florida and the structure is certainly legal. We know that already. But if you for some reason decided that you didn't want to do this, we're already working on closing, then you would have legal, then you would have bills from these attorneys who are starting to do work. They get paid. In all the market treasury transactions that close, those fees are highlighted at $450 here, they get paid at closing out of the new market treasury fund. But if for some reason you were to back out, then you were, as we're working on closing and getting close to closing, then you would be billed by attorneys for their work that they've done for you on your account. My fee, for example, only gets paid if we close. So if we don't close, I don't get paid. CDE fees only get paid if we close, but if you don't close, they're going to keep their deposits as in. So that would be the only circumstance where you would have any fees that you would have to pay out of pocket in a normal transaction.
Thank you, Eric. I just wanted us to the board to, you know, this. It sounds like a no-brainer, but I want the board to understand there are some upfront things that's going to cost the board or the school. And also, of course, I'm interested in the contracting phase of it and how that's going to work. So, thank you.
Sure.
Other questions? I know it's a lot to chew on.
That's what these all day. I do presentations all the time. There's always lots of questions. I welcome questions. The more questions we can ask now, the better we're going to be in the long run. So,
if you could zoom that page as well,
yes.
If you want to talk about that, and that way, if we have any more questions, we'll ask you. I see you've moved to that. We can...
This is this crazy looking flow chart. Okay, so if there are any other questions on the sourcing uses, I'll go through this next document here. So this is the classic new market tax credit flowchart, and it's based on the numbers that you saw on the previous page. So the first step is that we have Truist Community Capital as our investor, our tax credit investor in the transaction, and they're going to issue the investor owns 0.01%. And they do that so they get paid. They get paid first before anybody else. So they get their $1.7 million fee, and that goes over here. So now we have $20,928,000 minus $1.7 million for $19,228,000. And so we have our $15 million leverage loan. I think I have a map there. But just please humor me in on the map there. So we have $15 million here as our leverage loan, which is the $15 million we have above, and that's our A note. And then our B note, which is the new market cash credit equity, is $4,228,000. So now we have $19,228,000 in cash that is distributed to our quality fee. And our quality fee, as I said before, is a separate entity with its own board. It's a Title III nonprofit supporting organization that exists only for the purposes of this transaction and to support the school district. QAFI stands for, it's a new markets term, it's a qualified, active, low-income community business. So if you want to jot that down, you'll hear me say it a lot. But again, QAFI, qualified, active, low-income community business. And I just called it LCSD. You could call it Liberty County School District, QAFI if you want. As long as the state, as long as the Florida Secretary of State will accept it as a legal organization name, it's fine. But just, it must have the term quality in the name. That's the only part. So from the previous page, we have $18,278,000 in project costs. And then we have our transaction fees down here, my $500,000 consulting fee, and then the lawyers and the accountants, $450,000 fee, the $950,000 in transaction costs. So now we have the $19.228 million in project costs. So what is this quality PNC going to do with the $19,228,000 in? The first thing it's going to do is it's going to pay $15 million on a reimbursement to the school district. That's the very first thing it's going to do. It's going to reimburse the school district for the cost that it incurred when it's with day loan. So that's the first thing we'll do. It will sign and it will do the reimbursement in exchange for a long-term lease of the assets that were purchased with the $15 million. So in this case, it will be the school, as it was with the Graceville School in Jacksonville. So it's going to be a long-term lease. The school district will in turn issue a lease back, we'll get a lease back of that building and we'll be able to operate. So this does not change, this is only for tax purposes, so fee ownership does not change. The school district will continue to own the school as it. Without any changes, but there is going to be this lease-back structure that will exist, that will be set up, and there will be a lease, which I'll model on the next page. And that lease will have a 30-year term, but practically speaking, the transaction has a 7-year compliance period. After the compliance period is over, then now you'll just dissolve that lease. That'll be the end of the structure, and you'll dissolve the bond. But for now, the school district has $15 million sitting in its hands. That $15 is back, and it turns around and it pays it back to Truist, and now the one-day loan is $16 million. That is no more. So what do we have left? So now the entity will pay nine transaction fees. The quality will pay transaction fees, and again, it's all handled in the wire room. It's not actually still writing a check for this. We'll pay the transaction fees of $950,000. And then it will pay, in this case, I'm just doing it for the vocational building, it will pay $3.278 million in costs to build that building. Now, if the actual cost is $2 million, as we talked about on the previous page, then this number would be $16.278 million on $15 million. The $15 million would still be repaid back to Truist up here, because that's the same amount we had here, but there would be another bar up here that would say Liberty County School District retained $1,628,000, or $1,278,000, sorry, which can be used for any purpose. That's what it would say on that last bar. But in this particular case, I have not modeled that, but that's what it would look like. So when we're all done, the quality has no we will give you a put option, give us $1,000, and we will unwind the transaction. So they, you give them $1,000, they give you the option, and at close, 7 years after closing, you give them $1,000, they unwind. So the investment fund dissolves. The CDE has already got their money, so they dissolve, now they're gone. And so all we're left with is this qualified fee for it. Well, the qualified fee no longer has any reason to reach it, so it's gone. So all that happens is, at that point, is the $3.278 million that's sitting here on the qualified fee books that refused for that will simply, and the building that was built will simply transfer to the district after the unwind is over. And all we're left with is the district. So kind of go back to where we start with the unwind is at the end of the century.
Question, Eric. I think you might have already answered this. The lease, the long-term lease, and then the lease back.
Yes.
What if the CDE went out of business? Just say they went belly up in the 7 years. What happens to this agreement with Liberty County?
Right, so if the CDE goes out of business, that doesn't make it, that wouldn't have any impact because Truist is who's going to drive it. Because the investor is the one who gets the benefits. So, Once the transaction closes, the CDE is largely gone. All you have to do is send them the reports and that's it. But if the CDE were dissolved, then this section would still exist because they got paid at closing, but they would no longer be here when the transaction unwinds. So in that respect, it doesn't. The CDE would still have a bank account, that's it. But we've never had a CDE go bankrupt or dissolve. In history of the program, because CDEs want to do more work. So, for example, there are 242 registered CDEs that are registered with the Treasury Department. There's going to be about 90 of them are going to win an award. So, CDEs, especially the ones that always win awards, will never dissolve because they want to keep winning awards. There was one circumstance for the small bank in Georgia, which did a few deals. And they were a small financial institution, and they got taken over by the FDIC before the compliance period ended, and that was the one case where we had a situation where the investor was no longer here, but instead what ended up happening was that the in that particular case, the private sponsor ended up just giving the FDIC $1,000.
Is there any downside to this for Liberty County School System, the Gert School District, to go into this? I mean, do you see any downside? I mean,
no. Other than these deals are really complicated, and I'll need help from your team to be able to work on this. And then there's a lot of moving parts involved. It will take time from your. It will take staff time to do it. And it will take the quality board to actually meet and has to sign all the documents. But those are the real downsides. That's why this program is really popular, because people want the free money. You're not a for-profit entity, so there's no income tax liability. If you're a for-profit, then there would be income tax liability. But since you're a non-profit entity, that's not a factor. So no, there really are no downsides. That's why this program is far more. That's why there's far more demand for new market catchment transactions than there is supply.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody got any other questions? I know it's a lot.
It is a lot.
All right. Do you have another screen, Eric, that you was going to get?
I do have another screen. Yes. Yes, I do.
So is everybody ready to move to the next screen? Go ahead. Thank you.
So this is just the cash flow, how the cash flows work during the compliance period. So this is the lease agreement, not the lease we were talking about. So the district would be required to pay a lease payment equal to make sure that the qualified fee can pay an interest payment back to the district. And the interest rate on these transactions is always
So for the term of the 7-year compliance period, you're looking at 14 grand plus.
I mean, for that entire amount, yes, but about $2,400 a year. That's correct, roughly.
Okay. I want to piggyback a question off what Jody said. She is asking about a downside. Has there been any instances with any school districts where there's been any kind of problems or allegations of impropriety on behalf of the district or anybody involved where it didn't go right?
Yeah, so I'll answer the way that Matt Hoodway did. When I started meeting with the tax manager with the school board, he said the first time after he met me, he went and he looked up Newmarket tax credit fraud, and he couldn't find any. There's been no case of the fraud ever prosecuted. As a matter of fact, there has never been a recapture or any litigation at all in the history of this program. No. Not once. There have been companies, for-profit companies that have sponsors that have who filed bankruptcy, but that does not trigger a recapture or an unwind. So in the entire history of the program, there's not been a single IRS audit or any other compliance problems that have come up where there's been any cases of illegality or fraud or malfeasance or anything else that's related. Not in the history of the program. Doesn't mean that it won't happen with somebody or some transaction. There are always consultants who are far more aggressive than I am. They push the envelope more than I do. And I can't speak for them, but at least as far as I'm concerned, all my deals are pretty straight.
Okay, I'm going to ask a very personal question. Have you ever been accused of any kind of fraudulent activity with any kind of money issues?
No, sir. I have never been investigated. My license is issued by the Oregon Board of Accountancy, and I have never had a complaint, dispute, anything in my 20-year career.
You ever get caught for speeding? Just play it. Thank you, Eric.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. All right, any other questions? Okay, so next step, Eric, would you send us an engagement letter to review and to possibly let the board look at that? Let our attorney look at that, Mr. Summers, and then move forward from there?
Okay. I'll make sure you have that by tomorrow.
Okay. Awesome. Any other questions, board? Go ahead. Yeah.
I think I'm coming up with a good thing. I think we're going to need a workshop.
Most definitely.
And we probably need to go ahead and start planning. This is going to be an ongoing project.
Yes.
And definitely, I know we can't make decisions, or I don't know if this is going to even require attorney. I'm going to lean to you. Stop me if I'm wrong here, please. Is this going to require a vote to move forward on this, or is this just a motion? I mean, does it require a motion?
I think it needs to be put on the agenda.
Okay.
Right now, yeah.
It needs to be put on the agenda. And I think it's real important for all of us to see this engagement letter and maybe do some checking around.
100%. I think we need to vet this.
We need to vet it.
Among, with each other.
Yeah.
And before I would like for us all to feel good about it before we put it on an agenda and try to have most of the questions answered in a workshop setting possibly.
Yeah.
And then when we all feel like we all get thumbs up, put it on the agenda and go from there.
Yeah.
Because that puts it, hopefully that gets all the questions answered prior to a vote.
Yeah, and I just for so we can be able to really
100%.
Talk about this thing and right. Know what it's going to entail.
Right.
I mean,
I think
you know.
Have to figure out what would you want to fund.
Everything.
What's
correct.
The plan going to look like? Yeah.
I mean, I agree.
Yeah, and who our project manager is going to be. I mean, for the school, you know, we're going to need somebody working on this. And it's, I mean, I know it's going to be a team effort, But we need a project lead on this.
I'm glad you said that. One question I had about the nonprofit that you develop. Is there, I know typically, and I'm coming from a church background, you know, where a lot of, I'm a pastor as well, so of course I came into a church that was already a 501c3, because you said they do a 990, which is for nonprofits on the tax deal. Is that something that would need to be one of the earlier things to so you get nonprofit status? Because I know sometimes that can be a lengthy governmental process.
Right. So that's a good question, and that is what our quality council does for you. So he will organize your 990. He will tell who you want on your board.
Okay.
We'll define the name, and you'll get that organized and incorporated with the state of Florida, and then do your part for the organization, and then get all the other documents done. And then actually, finally, with the IRS for nonprofit status is a he does that, or he's well, he's a tax attorney, so he does that as well. He has 990, he has applications for nonprofit status that's going back. They're still in process for a year and a half because the service is just so backed up. But all you have to do in order to close is just file with the IRS. It's all that's required for closing.
Okay.
You don't actually have to have the 990 letter, but he specializes in nonprofits. That's what he does. So he does. Alan does probably 10 nonprofit transactions a year.
Okay. All right.
That time frame, though, he said he's going to send an engagement letter tomorrow. What kind of time frame do we need to meet to be eligible for the next round?
What deadlines, Eric? We're trying to figure out how much time that the board needs to right. Discuss. What kind of give me a deadline of when we need to be ready?
Well, we're only in March, and the awards won't be out until the summer. So
he said December.
I would recommend personally that I have a cut sheet to market to CDEs by mid-April, preferably. So if you were to sign an engagement letter, we'll need some information for preparing the cut sheet marketing document, and I'll share it with you, and we'll review it together and make sure it's what you want to say in the document. But you know, it would be nice to have it signed and approved by the end of the month, if that would be possible. If not, I can go into April. I think we can really. I can still market the project even if it takes me until mid-May to have your approval.
So we got some time, but we need to be diligent with the time we do have.
Yeah, sooner is always better.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And will you be sending us examples, maybe to guide us through this, or you know, once and if we sign the engagement letter with you, I mean, we don't want to be poking around in the dark.
Let me just say this. You are certainly welcome to talk to the Jackson County School Board, and you know, they can tell you how their transaction went. We have a transaction we're working on right now with Jackson Hospital that hopefully, knock on wood, will be shaking off here starting closing in hopefully next week. And we're talking to other organizations in the area as well. So, and I have several referrals I can give you. I started my business fairly recently, as I was a CPA for 18 years, so I closed 5 transactions. You're welcome to talk to some former clients and current clients if you want about what I do. I'd be happy. I'd give you one company in Panama City. They closed a deal in December. I've got a company in New Mexico that you can talk to, and then you've certainly got Jackson County to talk to as well. And I've got a hospital in Wyoming that can talk to you.
Are there I don't want to say cookie cutter, but are there forms and things that we, you know, I assume that you will send, is it?
Yeah, so, you know, that's a good question.
Like what,
yeah, so,
examples of what we need to send.
As far as the transaction documents are concerned, that's why there's all these lawyers involved. They're the ones who have to draft the legal documents. The good news for you is that Jackson County School Board documents are public. So, because they're a government entity, every transaction is going to be a little different. But if you want to model based on Jackson County School Board's deal, you can, we can certainly get those documents. And your lawyer can have fun reading the long set of legal documents that are involved, if you want. Most of them are not very exciting.
Dry reading.
But you're welcome to review them in advance if you want to, if you're on that. That would be my idea.
Okay. All right, so you'll send me that letter of engagement. You have my email. And then what I'll do is I'll distribute that to the board. And we'll start that conversation, and we can workshop on demand whenever, as we kind of start that process. Any other questions for Mr. Davis? All right. Any questions for us?
I want to get more definition on what you want to do with the vines, and we'll want to talk about that. That'll be my big question. But I don't have any questions at this time directly for you. But I will, assuming that you want to go forward, I'll have a lot of questions.
Sure. Absolutely. All right.
Thank you so much, Eric. You've done a great job. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, buddy.
Mr. Chair.
I do have a question. As I said, we probably need to have some workshops on this.
Well, and if we move forward, he's going to want to know exactly what we're going to do.
Yeah, so what do y'all want? I mean, we can talk, and I mean, we need to work in April's like right around.
Yeah. So we got a few more weeks with spring break.
Yeah.
Everybody's off, and then we got that last week. I would recommend if, and again, this is going to require us to meet a little more often, but for the return, it's worth it. I'm encouraged by what, I mean, y'all saw what those numbers turned up to. I mean, this could be, I know, Kevin gave us a list of all of our facility issues. Remember that? And we were just scratching our heads talking about how we can, you know, this is one of those things that could absolutely, and again, this has to be a board decision. One of my visions is behind the new high school, behind the vocational wing. We've got a little bit of property, a little strip there to do some, you know, you got that old slab that's there now. I know Tyler's wanting to put a pole barn over that. But we got some area over there we could do a few things with if we're creative. But it also have quite a bit of money left over to finish the field house, to finish the stuff at the softball field, and anything and everything else in our facilities that needs repair, restoration, and have money left over. And
so
I,
we have about $1.6 million on that list.
It was over $1 million, closer to two. So I mean, I think reasonably we could build some nice vocational areas over there in addition to what we have. We can enhance what we have, you know, as far as equipment. You know, we've put in the $150,000. I hope we're gonna get it this year. The governor told him this morning, y'all leave K-12 alone. I appreciated him saying that, but I'm not overly optimistic. You know, I hope they work out us to be able to get that money, but I believe we got some opportunities really to do some good things there. So I'm okay with meeting as needed and as often as, you know, I know that I'm preaching to the choir here, but we need to do what we need to do to get rolling.
Yeah, we do. And I think, you know, having a good plan and, you know, even a timeline, we need to start setting some timelines for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Goals, we need to know how we're going to meet those goals. I mean, this is, and I will go ahead and disclose, I have talked to Jackson County. Even he told me, he said, after you're explained it, you'll still go home and scratch your head. and I've done some research a little bit on the internet, looking at what this process is, and it takes a lot of work. And I just want everybody to understand this is not something we can just, you know, sign a piece of document and it's going to take.
It's going to be much more than just a template.
This is rolling our sleeves up and getting to work and down in it. And
he said April because she is that where he needs some of those projects? And
yes.
I would assume.
Yes. And that's something we need to talk about. What can we sell the best as far as a main project? And again, what I told him was just my knee-jerk response. He said, what are your needs? And I said, well, we want a vocation center. That's a huge thing. But it don't have to be that.
A question I had, he said we could go back and include the vocational building that I guess we got sitting over there to finish.
Correct.
How much of that vocational building cost? It cost us $1 million to move it over there. Is that...
Are you talking about ROTC building?
Yeah.
I'm gonna answer.
Is that what he's counting as vocational? Is that what you're talking about, vocational?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think he was talking about.
No, I wasn't talking about the ROTC.
No.
But I know what you're saying. Don't count that out because I asked that question of Jackson County. He even mentioned FEMA, some things that happened through FEMA and things like that. So, you know. Talking more, and I mean, I had a 20-minute conversation with Chris, I'll be honest with you. So, you know, he gave a lot of information, and he's actually on that board that has to be, they put him on there. He's a school board member, he wears two hats, school board member, and he's also a CPA. So he's on this board that has to meet, they have to meet every year, you know, and he said it's not labor intensive, but as you can see, there's some...
Has to be done.
You know, it has to be done. So anyway, he has a lot of knowledge about it, and I'm sure he's not the only one, but, you know, we've got to get our, you know, I know you guys have a lot to do, but to me, this is very similar to writing a grant. And we've got to market this thing so we can be competitive.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm open to meeting as often, or you calling me as often as you need me, you know, whatever, you know, I think we need to workshop this thing.
What I can do is get the engagement letter. That can be our first workshop is let's go through that, let Jackson look through that as well.
Okay.
Make sure we're crossing every T and dotting every I, sort of speak on that. And then maybe that first one, go over the engagement letter and then look, let's pick a project. Maybe, because I'm sure that some of that's going to be encompassed in that. Let's go ahead and pick what we want to call it or what we're asking for. And make sure that, like you say, you got to sell something that's worthy of that. That was a little bit of my rub was if they look at here and say, well, how much do y'all? We've all kind of sat in front of these kind of ranking things, even with Hosford School and the new high school, and they go, well, how much is it going to cost to build it? And you go, $500,000. Well, do you need this much more? You know what I'm saying? So we've got to make this a Mac Daddy thing, whether we use it or not, and not trying to be deceptive. But you know, kind of pie in the sky to begin with, to be able to ask.
In my opinion, what you need, similar to what he had, you need a flow chart.
Yeah.
You know, and the direction of, you know, where you need to be by when. And there's all kind of questions that's going to come out, like, how much money can you spend on administration? I mean, is that, is there, I mean, there's going to be a lot of questions that you're going to come up with.
Mm-hmm.
But having a little flow chart, you know, like he had, as far as when you need to do what, by when.
Right.
I can start developing that out.
Yeah.
I can start developing that tomorrow when I get that, and then what I'll do is maybe shoot y'all out some emails on that, tell me what you think, and then maybe I'll even put some dates and what needs to be discussed at those dates.
Absolutely.
Well, I can only imagine, I think he said after he gets that letter of engagement, he's going to have a lot of questions.
Right.
Right.
Well, I think his biggest one that he said was on what the project is.
Right. Yeah.
Well, so that's we need to be in agreement.
You got to know how long it's going to be before you got to create a board to your little.
Right.
Board.
Right.
Right. And I don't know how that was put together in Jackson County. I can find out for sure. But it's we've got to have a timeline. We've got to have a project plan and be ready to roll and be competitive.
Well, that was the thing I was just thinking about is he stated that I think it was August. Mm-hmm. In August when the next round is available to start. Well, You know how long it is from now till August? you're about 6, 5 and a half months.
Well, he even said he could start marketing it in April, right?
But, yeah, he said he could get the cut sheet.
You gotta have all of your projects already defined and identified. You have to have all of your documentation, all your construction contracts, everything already done. Mm-hmm. And I know some of that's already in place. Probably.
So, yeah, I want to know if we have to hire CM or can we contract it out? Because if you hire CM, they're going to charge you 7%.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to, I mean, I know he said a project, but you don't want to go in there and spend all your money. Then you won't have none to do nothing else with.
Right.
You got to think about that now.
Because the other is you can have some of that free.
Yeah,
too.
So you might only, I mean, once you apply for it, you're getting that money no matter what your project is. That's what he's saying. So if you want to do a $1 million project and have $2 million left, that's what you got to determine. How much you want to spend and how much you want left.
Yeah. Well, you got another thing, and that's one reason I really like to talk to DOE because I'm just being, and maybe I'm being overreaching here, is because this money is going to come in our coffers. So all of our administrative guidelines have to be followed. If that money falls within our coffers, and eventually it will come in. I mean, we're going to spend some money up front, I understand, and then get reimbursed, but we got to be careful when you say don't know if we need a CM or that. I want to make sure we follow all the guidelines. Mm-hmm. So we don't get an audit criticism 3 years down the road and you go, whoa, well, you went and bid it out. This is where I'm going. I'm trying to look 5 years out, 7 years out.
Their biggest scrutiny comes in on FFP money. That's where their biggest scrutiny
DOE's
is.
DOE's does, mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the money they give you.
On the money they give you,
right.
If there's other money coming in, I just want to make sure I'll give you
an example we're talking about. Like the 1.5 mil levy for special facilities. When that comes in, they tell you what you can do with that. But after that 3 years past your school is done, you can do with it what you want to.
Yeah, they can.
But within the line of capital outlay, you get that. But we'll definitely make sure that everything is good. But that's the biggest scrutiny is on FFP money, student funding. That's where they are the biggest. And we just went through that audit.
I can tell you right now, if you get in with DOE, you cannot finish that field house or build a softball field house.
Well, I understand that.
Because it's got to be tied to a classroom. You know, we might have to put a classroom out there. Might say Ms. Sewell's classroom. That's how you can finish that field house with money we already have. All you have to do is put a classroom in. It's all tied to a classroom. FTE.
It's all student stations. Okay.
That's what it's amounts to. Right. That's the money they give you. Like Mr. Petty said, money that we get somewhere else. They really don't control them.
Right.
Now, they control how we spend it and how we got to bid this and bid that. Right.
The guidelines.
This is a total investment is what it is.
But you're right, Jody. We need to make sure that we will. We absolutely will.
I'm looking, making sure we don't get an article.
But there's got to be... Kevin brought up a good point. Do you go hire a Culpepper type entity, as a CM?
7%.
And know that right there is coming off, or do we contract it ourselves? Do we become the CM?
Right.
We have board policy that covers that. That was one of the operational audit,
right.
Was saying y'all needed to have some stuff that garners being a CM. That's in place. That will be in place by the time this rolls around.
Okay.
So that's a good question because that's a high percentage of a project, which is less money here. Now, you got people that do that, and of course it's one less thing many less things for us to have to do,
mm-hmm.
I.e. the school,
finish in February, right?
Yeah.
That right?
So
be probably need
a couple of months from when the closing would start, and then you would know, all right, it's coming, right?
And I guess you would do these bids with contingency on availability of funds, right? Or are we going to go ahead and pay out?
You got to come up with the project.
Got to come up with the project.
I'm going to show you, for instance, that building we already got sitting out there, it'd be easy to turn in a vocational lab. You're still talking $2 million. You know, you building right now is about, commercial wise, about $400 a square foot.
Mm-hmm.
It's $395. So you're talking, it might even be higher than that now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you use that concrete slab and that building and finish closing it in, because that's all that new high school is that same building. It is. It's a red iron.
It's a block building.
It's a red iron building with block laid up beside it. That's all it is, pre-construction materials. Pre-manufactured, I mean. So, you know, you could close that in, and that would save you slab, beams, roof. You still got all your electrical, plumbing. You have to step off to the side to do your plumbing for your bathroom, but other than that. So, you know, you can eat up your money quick if you choose the wrong project and won't have any left over to do anything else. Construction. That ROTC building was about a $4 million building if we would have built it and still moved it over there. It cost us $1 million to move it, a little over $1 million to move it, saved us $3 million. That's the reason the board decided to do that. So if you look at that building, there's your $4 million building. So, you know, I'm just trying to help you far as you, I know you want to do other things with it, so don't jump off in there and say you're going to build a $4 million building.
I think the next workshop we have, you'll be there.
I will go ahead and do that. I'll get that tomorrow and try to kind of put things on the calendar, maybe some deadlines. Shoot that out there. Y'all give me your feedback, and we'll do that.
And be thinking projects. Mm-hmm.
Kevin's got that thing. I'll attach that. Yeah. If you'll get that to me, I'll attach the things that we talked about we were needing but didn't have money for as well. You know, and we, you know, of course, we prioritize those things, I believe.
Yes,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be good.
It sounds too good to be true.
It does.
But it's a real deal.
None of us wind up on 5 o'clock.
It'd be your lawyer. It'd be your lawyer, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
My understanding,
I'm going to do everything.
You won't have any money left over, but you'll be able to finish a bunch of projects.
Yeah.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah. You got that 18 months to spend it. You're going to have to get everybody's got to. We got to. That's why we need to make sure we know what we're doing and when we're doing it and how long it's going to take to do it.
That's a very short time.
Well, you said that 3 months to finish. I was over. There's no way we can do something in 3 months.
Yeah.
We got to. I mean.
Well, he said 18, didn't he say?
Then he said 18. He come back and said 18.
18 months. Yeah. Spent, not obligated. Spent.
Yeah. But he said as soon as, I guess as soon as the awards, he knows we're going to get it, we can go ahead.
We can go ahead and contract.
Right. Well, so you,
or engage.
And that could be 6 months before 18
say,
months even
starts. Oh, yeah, right.
So.
How long, does any of y'all know how long our, say, Culpepper? Once you bid something out, you can keep using them for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
If I understand.
It all depends what our engagement letter.
And then with Greg Kelly and them, Mr. Dan Rutherford, if we could not have to bid it back out again, that saves a lot of time.
Well, not that saves a lot of money too, because every time they rebid it, it goes up.
But you still have to pay them their cut?
You still have to pay them their cut. You're going to have to have an architect no matter what. They got to, because Russ said, yes, sir. He drew up. I mean, you're going to have to have a set of documents showing what you're going to do.
Absolutely.
I'll call.
So that takes time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully it's right the first time. You don't have to read the structure.
If we could have a workshop very quickly, so we can decide, so we can get them rolling, or whoever, I don't care who it is. Somebody's got to get rolling. You don't get us some plans next week.
Do y'all want to try to workshop next Monday? Before or after the meeting? It's a short meeting.
Yeah, let's do it.
We got a 5:30 meeting, so
y'all
want to do it after? Y'all want to do it after, Doobie?
Let's do it after.
We do it after. I give everybody time to get here.
Yeah.
Why don't we just go ahead and I'll get Renee, if you'll, we'll just go ahead and do that. Right now, I don't know what to put on there, but we'll go ahead and, we'll call it, let's see, we're inside of a week, so it'll be just an emergency workshop. We'll have to call it an emergency workshop for next week.
Okay.
Immediately after the meeting to discuss new market tax credit.
Okay. Any other questions? Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Moore, second.